Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
And today we're going to talk about heading towards zero waste, or man, is this place a mess?
No, it's not a question. It's a statement.
I knew that. Okay.
But you ask it like it was a question.
Okay.
We're going to start that way.
It's that Valley Girl tone of my voice that every statement becomes a question. Okay, so let's start out. What are we talking about? We're talking about the problem, right? Here we're really talking about solid waste. And solid waste, we're talking that in the United States.
Wait, what's solid waste?
Solid waste is stuff, right? Stuff you throw away.
And poop. It's poop too.
Well, depends on how you're feeling that day, I guess. But it's no, I would not consider that as part of the solid waste stream. So anyway, so 250 million tons per year, which is 4.6 pounds per person per day. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's like 5 pounds of potatoes. Think about it.
Okay. Well,
normally you would buy a bag, a small bag of potatoes would be 5 pounds. That's how much. It seems like people would generate more than that. I mean, when I think about all the packaging.
We generate not very much, and that's averaging out to those people who generate quite a lot. So some of the studies that we've had, like a Minnesota study, shows that of this solid waste, the stuff that ends up in the landfills, about 72% of it could actually be not thrown away, like recycled, reused, repurposed.
Or composted.
A lot of stuff that's mm-hmm. in the – and, in fact, when you think about –
I bet a lot of it is compostable.
Yeah, quite a lot of it is compostable. In fact, they figure – I've got that number down here somewhere, but it's a significant amount is stuff that could be composted had it not been thrown away in the trash. So what do you do with most waste, solid waste? Well, in our society, we typically either burn it or we recycle it, which includes composting, or it's buried in the ground. And far and away, just digging a hole, burying it in the ground, that's the number one solution. You know, out of sight, out of mind, that is our national motto.
Well, the thing that comes to mind, for example, thinking about disposable diapers, mm-hmm. and that it takes them 500 years to decompose. I wonder how they know that. Like nobody waited around for 500 years. For
these things have been around for 50 years?
Yeah, maybe not.
Well, about 10% gone now, I'd say.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, what's the reason we're not going back to these corporations and saying, look, you're creating products that are not responsible. It's not a responsible product. It takes 500 years or more, or maybe it's never going to decompose. And it could be constructed in a different way. Like, for example, people who are trying to be more responsible or understand that disposable diapers are often a health issue for babies would be they have cloth diapers that are made of cotton, and then there's a little liner. So it's a much smaller, it's not one big diaper, but it's a little liner like a feminine napkin would be, or a sanitary napkin. There's a whole different ballgame then. It's still going to take a while to decompose, but not 500 years.
Right, or you could just use cloth diapers and wash them, and then you don't have that disposal issue.
Well, that's true, but a lot of people are going to go for the convenience.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's pretty much the crux of our problem with solid waste is it's a lot easier to use something once, throw it away. And if there is, and we talk a lot about externalized costs, if nobody's held responsible for cleaning up this thing, the company that's making the money on the disposable diaper is not being tasked with getting rid of it, right?
It's out of sight. It's like very French, out of sight, out of mind.
Well, if someone throws it along the side of the road, well, it's not Pampers that has to go pick it up.
No.
It's going to be the taxpayer. The taxpayer is going to clean up for people's
misbehavior. It doesn't seem like it's the taxpayer now, even as people like you and me that's going, that when we decided to take the Kawasaki mule and go along the road for 2 miles and pick up trash for a day.
So it's the saints amongst us.
That must be it.
Right.
Well, it's those of us who don't want to look at it. It's ridiculous. And almost everything that we pick up. I mean, so here, this is a good example. So when we have cleaned up the road, it's almost 2 miles down to the stop signs. So we identified straws were a big issue right off the get-go, like 15 years ago. But we also said, look, it's the fast food companies that really should be held accountable. You know, it's the beer companies that really should be held accountable.
Well, we saw this when we were in France. I mean, France said, look, if we're going around the roads picking up McDonald's trash, we're going to bill McDonald's for that cost.
Yeah, they should.
Because you created this thing. Now, obviously, we could point to the idiot who threw it out the window of their car as being responsible, but you can't necessarily track that person down. But you can track down McDonald's. So they're saying, why should the taxpayer pay for it when you're the one who profited from the initial sale? So that's the argument there. And you could argue the same thing, although the administration might get crazy. What we've seen in all of this is if you leave it to personal behavior and say, don't litter, don't waste, don't, you know, try and use reusable, you will make a certain amount of progress, but not enough, because most people are pretty self-absorbed and not putting this as the first thing in their mind. You know, it's convenient to go buy a plastic bottle and drink it as opposed to always remember to carry around your metal bottle or glass bottle.
Well, but if we're faced with the true cost of that, we would never have a plastic bottle.
Yeah, but that requires thinking and planning and a moral compass. So we've eliminated about 90% of the population right there, right?
Oh, you're so hopeful.
I know.
So hope-inspiring. Uh-huh,
yeah, as Lily Tomlin said, no matter how cynical I get, it's never enough. Right. So
I'm noticing that more and
all
more.
All right. So, but recycling is getting better, and this is primarily voluntary.
Yeah,
in the U.S.
Wait,
all right. Well, hold on. Let me tell you the nice thing. You just told me I was negative, and now you want to step on my.
I wouldn't be a negative. I'm being logical. I'm often accused in these podcasts of being the one who goes off on tangent. I was just about to be very logical and linear.
Okay. All right. That's good. But don't harsh my mellow. All right, so we've got.
Where did you come up with that? I think the styrofoam in the recording studio is getting to your brain.
All right. So recycling rates have increased from about 10% in the U.S. in 1985 to about 35%. But we're still poor compared to other countries.
Well, that's pathetic. Yeah. In all these years, we only went up to 35% of the one simple, actually almost waste of time thing that people could do.
But if our math scores increased that much, we'd be thrilled. In fact, they went the opposite way, you know, from 35% knowing how to add 2 plus 2 to 10%. But Germany is an example. They are at about 65%. So it shows you, obviously, we're pretty poor in comparison.
Well, Germany has a whole different attitude. I mean, their government, their corporations, everything is structured to want to do better. They're encouraged. Right. I mean, when I went to the grocery store in Germany, there was a table after you checked out, and you went there and you took your cereals out of the box because they're already in wax paper, and put the box, you know, broke it down and put it in the recycle bin.
Right. They were leaving the trash, basically the packaging, for the store owner to dispose of, which would then encourage the store owner not to have as much packaging because they got a deal.
There was less packaging.
And part of that was that the people who shop typically walked home. So the less packaging, the less it was. And speaking of packaging, as we're buying more and more things on the internet, why do we need any packaging on the thing that finally comes to us in the mail? If the packaging is there to entice you to buy a thing, pick it off the shelf, purchase it, shouldn't they be able to get rid of that and just sell it to you in a plain brown paper wrapper, you know? I mean,
well, they could do that, but they're so here's the challenge, I think, in humans, and I think it's also probably in the livestock world too. The challenge is, first of all, we have to think these things through. And secondly, we have to focus on what we have in common. So none of the corporations and not even oftentimes small business owners, we're not coming together to say, all right, this is a real problem. What are we going to do about it? And how do we focus on what we have in common? What's in it for me? Like you started out saying, the people in Germany who were shopping, the reason this whole deconstruction of the packaging happened at the store is because they don't want to have to find the space to carry it home because they're pulling a little cart, they're walking. So what everybody did was say, look, what's the one thing this customer really wants? Well, they want to be able to buy more and carry it in some kind of way to get it home. So then you say, all right, that's a recycling, an answer to recycling. But we're not doing that here.
Right. And I think we'll all agree, speaking of finding something in common, that the problem seems to be getting worse, not better, as far as solid waste and how do we deal with it. Just to give you a few statistics, these show you the scope of how big this is. We purchase about 18 billion disposable diapers per year. Takes about 500 years for them to decompose. We purchase about 4 trillion plastic bags every year, and those take about 1,000 years to break down. And when they do break down, even more problems. Of course, in 1,000 years, I guess we'll deal with it.
Well, breaking down and decomposing,
Right. They become small particulates of plastic.
Then they become plastic threads.
Water stream and the food stream and all of that. And humans buy 1 million plastic bottles every single day, every single minute. Not every day. 1 million bottles every minute. Now, think about it. When we were kids, it was rare to have a plastic bottle, right? Everything came in glass bottles or cardboard cartons, something like that. The plastic bottle industry is a pretty new, although it's not so new anymore going back to when we were kids, but, you know, we used to have...
Jay, it's more than 60 years.
I know. Gosh, that's yesterday. Anyway, but you used to have returnable bottles and the milkman, you know, pick up the old bottles and take them back and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So it's like nothing about the solution
cost,
is new.
It's
going back.
So we didn't stay with what the true cost was. We went with what was cheap. And that's the challenge.
Yeah. And what's convenient. And there's no denying using something and throwing it away is convenient. For that moment, right?
It's pretty damn inconvenient, excuse my French. Once it's used, once it's produced, where does it go? How does it dealt with?
Well, that's someone else's problem to worry about.
It's not. No, it's not.
Okay, well, then we have to somehow internalize that. And so some of the solutions, of course, has been traditionally landfills. Now, there are some studies that say that we're going to be running out of landfills here.
We've already run out of landfills. Look at San Francisco. I mean, they have amazing things they're doing there, but they don't have they ran out of landfill space. Mm-hmm.
So we've exported a lot of it. In fact, in 2014, trash was the United States' largest export by volume. So we win.
We win. We got the most crap, and we're going to send it away.
All right. Well, you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, reminding you it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
Thank God. There we go. All right. So today we're talking about solid waste, trying to get towards zero waste. We've identified a lot of the problems. So let's talk about solutions. Hey, how's that? How's that for a transition? Annie, solve the problem.
Okay, well, stop shopping. Mm-hmm. That would be my first solution. And I know that's not on your outline, but we have to stop consuming in the way that we consume. And we buy, you know, we've got 40 T-shirts. When how many can you wear at the same time? Maybe on a bad winter day, 10 of them to stay warm. But the rest of the year, no. It's the way we think about it. So we've got to stop consuming. We've got to stop filling up some kind of hole inside of ourselves that seems to be vacant.
So if you were in fifth grade and the teacher is telling you, how do you save the world? And you do the reduce, reuse, recycle. All right, reduce. There you go. Reduce.
All right.
Reduce. Don't use as much stuff. So that's number one.
Oh, I think it's a lot more complicated than that.
Oh, come on.
All right. So, for example, how about if you start with a list of things? You, again, everything we talk about is about planning. So if I'm going to go to eat out at a restaurant, and I know I'm not a very big eater, so I'm going to take with me a container, a reusable container, instead of taking the styrofoam container or even a biodegradable container that that restaurant's going to give me to bring home my stuff. This requires planning. I'm going to say no to straws. If I am a person who doesn't want to put my lips on a glass that came out of a commercial kitchen, which is the argument people make, I'm going to bring a metal straw, a stainless steel straw, and I'm going to use that.
I'm going to point out plastic straws, number 9 on the Dirty Dozen list of things floating around in the ocean.
It's not just Dirty Dozen. It kills animals,
yeah,
too.
Well, what's number one? What's number one of things
they said? Plastic bags.
No, cigarette butts.
Okay, well, there you go.
Then you get paper pieces, plastic pieces, styrofoam, glass.
All right. And so, you know, I was watching a film, I think it was called Seeds, and I started to sort of feel panic-stricken, even though I'm a person who grows a lot of our own food and trades for food and buys food at auction and at farmer's market. And I was thinking, I can't go to the grocery store anymore because everything is filled with plastic threads and bad chemicals, and I just started to feel overwhelmed by it.
Well, that's one of the problems, is because, you know, it always comes back to us saying, you know, buy food from people you know, shop locally, because regardless of what they say, you're just not sure what you're getting in the food when you go to the grocery store. It's and the solid waste issue is another one of these things, you know, that comes into our food stream.
But what I'm getting at, you know, it's all fine and good to talk about these things. And I'm a person who's really doing all of these things to make sure that we have better health and take care of the things that we should be taking care of. But there are times when it just feels so like there's no hope because I don't want to go to the grocery store. I don't trust the labels. I'm not being paranoid. It's most of it isn't trustworthy. Mm-hmm. So I do prefer and I do try to buy from people I know. And, of course, not everybody has that opportunity, but it just feels really bad.
Well, and I don't think you're the only one who feels this way. And what we're starting to see is a certain amount of shops, entrepreneurs, who are moving or trying to cater to that concern. There was an interesting article in The Guardian recently about zero-waste shops, you know, where they essentially have no packaging. It reminded me a little bit of the old Frontier General store where you have a big bin full of gumballs or whatever. I'm probably not on the Frontier gumballs. Get me some of that chewing tobacco and gumballs.
But the general stores would have a big container barrels.
But you get just a little paper bag and you fill it up. I mean, why is there this all-consuming need for everything to be shrink-wrapped in some sort of plastic?
Well, because, as they say, it's the shelf real estate. And so there are 40 kinds of beans. And, you know, one of the things that I like about shopping at Aldi's, which I'm not usually into making commercials.
Unpaid endorsement.
Yes. But Aldi's is doing a really great job at, they have one kind of black bean and one kind of spaghetti. And, you know, and so you do know what you're getting because they are making a concerted effort to move in the right direction.
I've never understood, like, you go in there and they will individually shrink wrap cucumbers and things like that. You know, I mean, not Aldi's, but stores where, I mean, can't you buy vegetables that aren't individually shrink wrapped in plastic?
Well, that way, because they're, okay, so here's the challenge. They're shipped a long way and they're grown to be shipped a long way. And so cucumbers particularly are pretty delicate, and so they can rot very quickly or be wounded. And so if the cucumbers were coming from 5 miles down the road and they were picked that day or the next day or whatever, or the day before, then that wouldn't be an issue. That plastic wrap wouldn't be an issue.
And we'd find that if we begin as the consumer, which is what we all are apparently, is...
That's all we are. I just want to say that's the problem. All right. That's all we are as
but
a
if
consumer.
We then start putting priority on on taste, freshness, locality, lack of packaging, then these corporations are going to supply that to us. You know, they're only giving us what we want. And so you can't sit here and say it is the evil corporation because they're basically just selling people what they want.
In order to make money.
Well, that's all a corporation
is. But it's not, again, they're not being held accountable to the true cost of that product.
Yeah, let's take them out back and beat them up.
No, let's hold them accountable for the from cradle to grave of
sure.
that product.
Okay, so what are some other, we've talked about zero waste shops, reducing how much you're buying. No straws, no bottles, try and get away packaging. Then clothing swaps. This is a big thing you always like to do.
Right. Well, 7% of textiles or material ends up in the landfill.
No, 7% of the landfill
is textiles.
It's even worse, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. So those are probably all my clothes because I wear them until they are absolute garbage. So
clothing... It just blows me away that people go to buy new clothing. There are so many amazing shops that exist today that didn't when I was younger that are benefiting others by your purchase or at least benefiting that neighborhood. They're not some big conglomerate, and they have incredible things that people often never even wore or used in some way, bed linens. I mean, it isn't just about clothing. It's all right. kinds of things that end up in those shops that have much more life to them. And the price is inexpensive, and it benefits everything.
And even the clothing that is tacky, again, I'm speaking of my clothing, tacky, worn out, nobody else is ever going to want to wear it. That doesn't even get wasted when you're donating it, right? Because it goes to rags, it goes to
fills. Well, they grind it up to make rugs and, you know, things like that. Clothing
swap. Send it off to Africa, where my clothes are actually quite chic, you know, as far
as... No, it isn't that. It's that way our brand is on everybody in Africa that says Nike and whatever. Uh-huh. Anyway, another good idea about clothing, since it is making up about 7% of the landfill, is the idea of swapping clothing. So whether it's a baby clothes swap or we have in our family a birthday swap, and my women friends come and bring stuff they don't want anymore. It's not just clothing, but there's a lot of clothing. And we have a potluck together and celebrate our lives and have a great time exchanging things. And then sometimes if you lost weight or you gained weight, and that's why those clothes are in there, then somebody comes back in a year or so to the next swap, and there's your dress back, and you can wear it again.
Yeah, after you've gained all that weight again,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
that Atkins
like,
diet
I
didn't last.
I love that dress. I'm so glad to have it back. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, so clothing is something actually that could easily...
Absolutely.
We could yeah. fix that problem pretty easily.
A lot. We could decrease a lot of
Food waste, another one, right?
Well, composting, and it's not just food waste. It's also things like human waste. Which
or
is a huge problem.
Paper products,
anything
wax paper.
That rots. That's what we always say at Blue Rock Station. If it rots, it goes into the compost. Mm-hmm. And it's a tremendous, tremendous waste to throw all of those things, yard waste and all that stuff that can be composted, because this country is, our soil is sadly abused and neglected. And so every time we create compost, we're creating a way to feed the soil. And you think about all these people. My mom used to say, my grandfather, who was actually born in 1862, and he was in his 70s when my mom was born, so that's why he's so old. But he would have thought we were insane to buy bags that have soil inside mm-hmm. or buy water. You know, this is the craziness of our culture. So we throw all this stuff away that could be composted and we can make soil. And then we go to the store and we buy ourselves some soil.
In a plastic bag.
Absolutely.
That's non-biodegradable.
Absolutely, uh-huh. as it should be. As
okay, so the composting, don't waste as much food as possible. I mean, when people buy stuff they never eat, throw it away, it just becomes a problem. So this is a problem that can become a solution.
Well, some of that has to happen through training as well.
Right.
We don't have home ec in school anymore, and we don't learn how to preserve food or conserve food or make leftovers and
another
all that stuff.
Thing in the food realm, don't eat fast food. I mean, not just to keep yourself alive, you know, by not eating
but
it.
Fast
but the packaging is amazing. I mean, there's a lot of packaging.
And the food, the word food should be in quotes.
Well, so. It's fast anyway.
Perhaps.
It's half right.
Perhaps.
So, and the packaging, of course, everything gets down to the packaging. And I guess what one option is just complain a lot. Make yourself a nuisance.
Yeah. Well, let's say something about recycling before we finish.
Okay,
because
yeah,
recycling
that's
should
next
be,
on my list.
Okay. So recycling, in my mind, costs a lot to the environment. And so we should be buying things that can be reused or repurposed, if at all possible. And it's not a very efficient process. It often involves a lot of not just energy, but pollution in its own right. And it's a game. It's like a bait and switch kind of game in my mind. So I'm really not that keen about it. Really should be at the bottom of the list of things we're going to do.
Well, and one of the insidious things about recycling, and of course, it's always, you always hear, well, you know, it's not that it's bad. Well, yeah, of course, it's better than nothing. But it oftentimes in people's minds gives them justification for consuming throwaway stuff because they're going to recycle it, like problem solved.
Well, yeah, they say, I'm doing my part for the environment. I recycle. It's
right.
Like, no.
And then if you compare it with other alternatives, like the statistic we found, if you wanted to offset the carbon impact of one airplane flight, you'd have to recycle 40,000 plastic bottles.
Oh, I can fly a long time now.
There you go. So so that kind of, and it's just not a very efficient way.
Yeah.
Of dealing
well,
with
the other
problem.
Thing is, just look at the packaging when you go to a store. And there are things we can do. And if we're buying, I would say not aluminum. Aluminum, when you study it, is really, really horrible for human beings and animals. But paper and cardboard, go for it. Paper, cardboard, glass, stainless steel.
Wax paper.
Or parchment paper, which has no petroleum on it.
Okay, well, we've solved the solid waste problem. And you have been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. We want to thank our producer, our Emmy Award-winning producer, Adam Rich. And thank you for spending just a little bit of time with us. And as your grandmother probably, hopefully, told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is...
play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and eat the veggies that were grown by your local farmer.
And not wrapped in plastic.
That's right.
Till next
time. Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.